What was the blessing that Esau was after? We alluded to in the text this morning that Esau was called by Isaac to go and hunt game, that Isaac would be sustained with the game and with Esau, and they would get to spend some quality time as father and son. And the main reason that Isaac wanted to spend time with Esau is that he wanted to bless him. So what was that blessing that Isaac wanted to give Esau? Well, if we go back to the story about the birthright and the blessing, it was a twofold thing. The birthright and the blessing were things that were to be pursued by the older son. It was a great privilege and a great honor by the older son to get the birthright of his father and also the blessing of his father. And we can pick up, if we go back a couple of chapters in Genesis, I want to read just a section of scripture for you. It'll be back on the back wall here. And it talks about the boys, Esau and Jacob. In verse 20, in chapter 25, verse 27, it says this. So the boys grew, and Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a mild man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his game, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Now Jacob cooked a stew, and Esau came in from the field, and he was weary. And Esau said to Jacob, "Please feed me with some of that red stew, for I am weary." Therefore his name was called Edom. But Jacob said, "Sell me your birthright as of this day." Esau said, "Look, I'm about to die. So what is this birthright to me?" Then Jacob said, "Swear to me as of this day." So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau the bread and stew of lentils, and he ate and drank and rose and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. What was the birthright? Well, the birthright was an event that happened when Isaac would die, that there was a role that was given to the oldest son to take care of his widow, to take care of all of his dad's finances, to arrange for his dad's burial and all that stuff, and also to have control over all of the workings of the farm. And then to divide up the inheritance, he was to receive a twofold or a double inheritance of all of his siblings. Bless you. But the birthright was a very special thing, and it wasn't something that came lightly to the oldest of the family, but there was great blessing in the birthright because it provided for him in an extra special way because he was the oldest son, and he was the first one to carry on the lineage of Isaac. So Esau was given this great right, he was given this great responsibility, and as the oldest, he knew growing up very well that he was the one responsible for the family. When Isaac would die, he was responsible for all of his unmarried sisters, if he would have had any, to make sure they find good husbands, and to arrange for the dowry, to arrange for all the household things, and for managing the farm and the household until the inheritance could be divided, until probably Rebekah died, and then the boys would divide everything, he would receive double. So why is it important that we get this story from the Word of God? Well, I think it's found in the last verse that we read in verse number 34. And the end of the verse says, "Thus Esau despised his birthright." And I think that's the part where God said, you know, "Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated." Why? Because Esau wasn't going to take his responsibility and the role in the family. In fact, he was going to pawn it off on somebody else and say, "Somebody else can be responsible for my folks when they die. I don't need to be, I don't want to be, you can't pin it on me." And so he despised the birthright or the responsibilities that came with being the firstborn. Was there blessings in it? Absolutely. But I have to believe that there was a lot of work involved in being the firstborn. It's probably not a lot different than today in our culture, is that the firstborn of the oldest son really takes the lion's share, or the oldest daughter, actually, of any families, takes the lion's share of the responsibilities when things begin to change for their parents. Same thing today. I know I faced it in my life with my folks, and you know, certainly I get to be close to them, so it makes a lot more sense for me, but There's an unspoken responsibility and a privilege, actually, to be able to take care of my folks as I continue to grow as the oldest son. But the responsibility is there, and I could shirk that and pound it off on my other siblings, and that would bring a dishonor to me being their oldest son. And Esau didn't care about his father, didn't care about his estate, didn't care about any of the things of the family matter. But because he was hungry, he sold the responsibility off to somebody else. So Jacob, being a supplanter or deceiver, said, I tell you what, I'll take responsibility for the family. I'll take responsibility for all of dad's stuff when he goes. When mom goes, I'll make sure and divide everything. You just leave it to me. You sell me your birthright, I'll take care of it. Esau says, you know, I'm going to die anyway. What does the birthright mean to me? So he sold it off for a bowl of soup. It must have been really good soup. Yeah. You know, I'm not a soup man. Delphine will tell you, I don't like soup. I think it's something you have to eat. Now, I like stews, but I don't like soup. But Esau was so hungry that even, now for her, a soup of lentils, that's right up Delphine's alley. But for me, Gandhi would eat that before I'd eat it. It's not my favorite thing. But for him, he was so hungry and so famished. It didn't matter what it was to sustain his life here on earth, and he sold something he never got a chance to enjoy. That's why I believe God despised Esau. Why? Because Esau first despised his responsibility. Then comes the blessing. That was just the birthright. And we pick up the story when Isaac says to Esau, make me some game, the stuff that I love to eat, that I may bless your soul before I die. We know how the story goes. Rebecca overheard this, realized, I'm sure, you know, she was mommy's favorite little boy. And Jacob told her, yeah, guess what Esau did? He sold me his birthright today. And Rebecca's like, oh, man. So keeping this in her heart, as soon as she heard this conversation between Isaac and Esau, Rebecca says, well, if he's going to get his birthright, he better have the blessing also to go along with the double inheritance and all the responsibilities. So she tells Jacob, I want you to go and I want you to take a kid of the goats and I want you to dress it and I want you to make it just like the stuff that Esau makes for your dad. And you've probably read the story many times, and Jacob says, you know, Esau's this big hairy guy. I'm not so much. What am I going to do? Well, he said, just leave it to me. We're going to put skins of the goats on your arms. We're going to put his cloak on you so he smells, that you smell like him. And so Jacob came in and supplanted Esau by taking the blessing. Not only did Jacob take the responsibility and the privileges. Now, what's interesting is that Jacob ran away from Isaac and Esau and Rebekah because of Esau's wrath. We don't ever hear that Jacob received the double portion of the inheritance. I kind of believe he probably did because of the custom. But the Bible never tells us that, because by the time that Isaac dies, Jacob and Esau are both very wealthy men. So he might not have gotten the birthright, the double portion of the inheritance, but he had the responsibility of making sure Isaac is taken care of when he died, and that's written in the Word of God. So Jacob comes in and he takes the blessing from Esau. In fact, Isaac says this. He says, Father, it's me. I've come with your food. And he says, who is this? He says, well, this is Esau, your firstborn. Are you sure it's you? And he said, come near me that I might hold you, embrace you. And he said, he smelled the cloak and he felt the goat skins on his arms. He said, the voice is the voice of Jacob, but the clothes is the smell of the field and it's these hairy arms. I have no idea what kind of difference there was in these two boys, but it was incredibly, probably different. But Isaac was deceived. And Jacob got the blessing. And then we pick up the story in verse 34 of chapter 27 in Genesis, far beyond our text. And when Esau came in, and we're going to catch up to this verse 34 in just a minute here. When Esau came in after he had brought the meat and gotten it ready and got it ready for him and came into the tent, no sooner had Jacob left with the blessing than Esau came in for his blessing. He says, oh, Father, get up and eat because I brought the savory meat that you like. And he said, who are you? He said, well, I'm Esau. And then it said that he began to tremble because something was amiss. And in verse 34, it says this, that when Esau heard the words of his father, that he told him that Jacob had come in here and robbed his blessing, he cried with an exceedingly great and bitter cry. and said to his father, bless me also, my father. But he said, your brother came with deceit and has taken away your blessing. And Esau said, is he not really rightly named Jacob? For he supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and now look, he has taken away my blessing. And he said, have you not reserved a blessing for me? It's a desperate situation for Esau. Not only did he not have a right to double of what his dad had, but now he was robbed of the right of Isaac blessing him for the future. And there was power in the blessing. Why? Because Isaac's father, Abraham, was blessed of God. And the blessing of Abraham fell on Isaac. And the blessing of Isaac would fall on Esau. And Esau knew from the stories from his father and from his grandfather how great God can be and how God can supply and how God can meet needs, how God can make things go well for him. And he knew by being blessed by Isaac that he was passing on the mantle of blessing that Abraham once had that he gave to Isaac and Isaac was going to give to Esau. You see, the blessing that was given wasn't just a token blessing. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But Esau, because he despised his birthright, he lost the favor of his father for the future, financially and in a standing in the family, and because his blessing was robbed, he's now also robbed of his blessing for the future, spiritually, financially. And you know, sometimes I think we get this idea that the blessings of God are for those and not me. You ever feel that way? Sometimes you don't deserve God's blessing. You don't deserve what he has for you, but others do, and others have come in, and you've seen people being blessed by God. You've seen how God has moved in the lives of people around you, and you feel like, oh, if God would just move that way in my life. But you feel like God's already wasted all of his blessing on everybody else and there's nothing left over. You've ever felt that way in life? Like, Father, is there anything left over for me? Do you have anything left over that I might be blessed? But you know, God doesn't work that way with his blessings. In Galatians chapter 3, it says this. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that, listen, this is important, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. There has been guaranteed for you and for me as Gentiles, not of the Jewish nation, that we have the same spiritual right to the blessing of Abraham as anybody else. Amen?
Amen?
What God put into place long time before Abraham even was called or circumcised and called that follower of God, he was blessed by God. And God said, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless the fruit of your womb. I'm going to make you a blessing to the whole world. All the nations of the world be blessed by you. I'm going to prosper you as the stars in heaven. And Abraham was a man that was blessed by God. And Paul says here in Galatians, and remember the churches of Galatia, which is written in the book of Galatians. The church of Galatia, like Iconium, Lystra, and Derbe, those three cities were mainly Gentile cities. Now, there were Jews in those cities, but Paul's ministry wasn't to the Jews. It was to the Gentiles. And two things are important in this verse, and I want you to see these things in this verse, in verse 14. That Abraham says, or that Paul says that the blessings of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles. You Gentiles, you that don't deserve God's blessing, get God's blessing, and not just the blessing of God, but the blessing that God promised Abraham are yours. And then he says that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Not just the Gentiles, but the believing Jews. Anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord to be saved gets the blessing of Abraham and the promise of the Holy Spirit. What's more special that God blesses us with than having his presence dwell within us? Right? Remember, the people of the Old Testament, the Israelites of the Old Testament, they had to go to the tabernacle to find the presence of God. They had to go to the prophet to find the presence of God. If they wanted to hear God's voice, they had to use the Urim and Thummim, and they had to use the stones of foretelling to get God's word and to get God's prophecy for them. But they didn't have the presence of God with them. There were only a blessed few that got to receive God's mantle of anointing. Moses is one. Aaron was one. The tribe of Levi was one. The prophets of the Old Testament were those that were blessed and anointed by God to have God's presence rest on them. But what changed when Jesus died and when he rose again is that the barrier of God's anointing was done away, and that anybody who calls upon the name of the Lord, anybody who believes that he is their Savior and Lord, can have the presence of the Holy Spirit with them. And if you want to look at it this way, it's the anointing and blessing of God that God promised Abraham. What was one of the promises that God gave Abraham? He would never leave him. He'd walk with him. And wherever you step your foot is the dominion and the domain of God. Why? Because greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. So the promises of Abraham spiritually for us, whoever call Jesus our Lord and Savior, those promises go through millennia of time and capture everybody who believes. John chapter 1 verse 12 says this, "But to as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God." Didn't matter where you grew up. Didn't matter who your folks were. It didn't matter what your earthly inheritance was. We have an inheritance that has been foreordained and promised to us by God our Heavenly Father that we can be co-heirs with Christ. We don't get just the leftovers, folks. We are co-heirs with Jesus Christ. It's a great promise and a blessing for us to know that. Boy, get excited because this is a great thing that God has done for us. We couldn't do it on our own. Amen? Ephesians, it's favorite verses of mine, I'm sure yours too. Chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 in Ephesians say, "For by grace you've been saved, or by grace you've been saved through faith. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." I paraphrase that for sanctity today, but what ends up happening in Ephesians, when Paul talks to the Ephesian church, he says this: this gift of God, this blessing of God, isn't something you can earn. It's not something you can buy. You can't work it off. You can't invest for it. You can't save for a rainy day for it. It has to be given to you. You have to receive it. And guess what? To receive this gift, this grace, this faith, to receive this blessing from God, your hands have to be empty. You can't bring anything to God and say, "God, here now, I deserve this grace." No, you come to him with empty hands and say, "God, I don't deserve this thing, but thank you for giving it to me anyway. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves." Nothing you can do, nothing you could perform, nothing you could undertake in your life will pay for the grace that's been given to you and the blessing of God. You know, the Old Testament blessing that Esau wanted was going to change his life forever. As soon as Isaac would have laid his hands on Esau, Esau's future would have changed forever. He would have been the same after that. Because that's why he was so remorseful. He was so distraught. There was not one blessing that he wanted that was left to give from Isaac. Isaac had already blessed Jacob. In chapter 27, verse 37, it says, "Isaac answered and said to Esau, 'Indeed, I have made him your master, and all his brethren I have given to him as servants. With grain and wine I have sustained him. What shall I do now for you, my son?' And Esau said to his father, 'Have you only one blessing, my father? Bless me also, O my father.' And Esau lifted up his voice and wept." There was nothing left for Esau. There was nothing left for Esau. And how desperate he must have been for just one blessing from his father. But for Esau and for Jacob, it's an all or nothing thing. It wasn't divided. The blessing was given to the oldest, and that's the way it always had been. So when Jacob supplanted Esau and came in for his birthright and his blessing, he got the best that Isaac had to offer. There was nothing left to give. The blessing of God for us today goes beyond the earthly possessions that we might ever have here. It goes beyond the things that we might receive on this earth, and it goes beyond us into the heavenlies. And in 1 Peter, Peter says this in chapter 1, verse 18, "Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct, received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And he indeed was foreordained from the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, you who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope are in God." My hope for my future doesn't lie in what my dad does or does not provide for me when he's gone. My hope for my future lies in what God has foreordained for me through his son, Jesus Christ. That's my hope. That's my future. That's what I've got to look forward to. The earthly things that I might gain are nothing in comparison, Peter says, because we haven't been redeemed with the earthly things. We shouldn't expect the earthly reward. We should expect the heavenly reward, because our inheritance and our blessing and our sacrifice and our redemption and sanctification came from above. It didn't come from this earth. And the blessing that God brings to he and the man and woman that trust him is not from this earth, it's from him. And that's a great promise Peter was bringing to us. You haven't been redeemed by corruptible things, but the incorruptible, the heavenlies, the things that God has put in place for us. Let's go back to Jacob's blessing for a minute as we get ready to close here. What was the blessing that Isaac gave Jacob? So that's important that we talk about that, and it's written in chapter 27. So if you have your Bibles still open to that section, in verse 26 it says this, "Then his father Isaac said to him," which is Jacob, "Come near now and kiss me, my son." And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his clothing and blessed him and said, "Surely the smell of my son is like the smell of the field which the Lord hath blessed. Therefore may God give you of the dew of heaven, of the fatness of the earth, and of plenty and plenty of grain and wine. Let peoples serve you and nations bow down to you. Be master over your brethren, and let your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be those who bless you." I'd say it's a pretty strong blessing. Don't you think so? Not only do you get the best of the earth, the best of the grain and the wine and the fatness of the land, but you get to be ruler over nations and ruler over your brethren and ruler over everybody else, and you have favor that God gives you, an anointing to be his favorite, because you carry this mantle of blessing. That was the Old Testament blessing. Today, we have been given a blessing that when we accept Jesus Christ, we are God's favorite. And we are given a blessing to overcome. Jesus said, "Take heart, I have overcome the world. I have overcome all these things." Why? Because of his love for us, his sacrifice for us, and because he was the perfect and blemishless sacrifice for our sins. And we have that same opportunity for us today. In fact, in Ephesians, we're going to close with the scripture this morning. It says this in chapter 1, verse 3. And Paul likes, I like Paul because he goes into spontaneous praise once in a while. Like he can't control himself. And as he's beginning his letter to the Ephesus church, he says this, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." And I want to stop right there. What has God foreordained for us? What has he provided for us? Not our salvation, but that we should be holy and blameless and blemishless before him. His intent for you was that you would be holy. What is holiness? Something that is dedicated, set apart for a particular purpose or reason, and for nothing else. We are to be holy because God has foreordained us to be holy. All done in love, of course. And in verse 5, "having predestined us to the adoption as sons." Another thing God has provided for us is our adoption by sons, by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. "To the praise of the glory of his grace, which he made us accepted in the beloved." What's the nutshell? God has blessed you. He wants you to know that he's blessed you. He's given you every spiritual blessing from the heavenlies. He's done so because he loved you and it was his pleasure to do it. What is done in love pleased God so much that he couldn't help but do it. He couldn't help but bless you because of his love for you. It was to the good pleasure of his will. That you may be the glory of his grace. What does that mean? That God's grace would show off in your life. We're not supposed to just take this blessing and hoard it. We are meant to take the blessing and give it out. This incredible blessing that God gives us, he's given us so we might pour it out on others, that we might be the glory of his grace, that we might shine off or show off the grace of God. That's what that means. That your life might be a beacon and a light of God's grace to others. Amen. Not only does a blessing provide us with all that we need now and for the future, but it also makes us accepted. And that's where I want to end today, and I want us to go home with this thought. God has given you everything that you will ever need to be accepted before him. You don't have to earn it. As we said before, you have to work for it. You don't have to be better to serve God. All he asks is that you'd be willing to serve him. Let him make you better. Right? If we try and do it on our own, we're going to get our own results anyway. Wouldn't you rather have God's results? I would. Hands down. God has provided acceptance for you if you ask for it. And trust him for it. And it's all you're ever going to need. Let's bow, shall we, this morning?